so much good yesterday. And so I get the chance to just continue in our series today, A Weary World Rejoices. So it's interesting, as we talk about this Christmas series, we kind of base it upon the Christmas song, O Holy Night. And so just kind of as a quick recap there, week one we talked about, Pastor Jeff talked about how long lay the world in sin and error pining. So the world didn't know that it was pining after God and his salvation, but we've been pining in our sin since the beginning of time. And it was only through God pouring out his love on us by sending his son Jesus that we could even be saved, to open our eyes, to bring light into this world. And so it was through that initial act why we celebrate Christmas the way we do, because Pastor JJ followed up the next week talking about how God has appeared to us, that many years ago it was his son that was sent to us in a manger, in a lowly way, in a meager way, to save the world, not in an extravagant way, but in a humble way. And then the next week, we talked about how the soul can feel its worth. Many times we don't feel worthy at times, or maybe we feel too much worth, but as we get to know who God is, as we accept his plan for his life and we submit our trust in him, then we find our worth in that place. And maybe you need to find your worth as we consider this Christmas season, who God is and what he means to you. And then last week, I talked to you about the thrill of hope. That around the Christmas season, there can be a lot of hope to be found, but there's many of us that struggle to find hope during this Christmas season for a variety of reasons. But hope is simple. We sang this song that hope has a name, and that name is the name of Jesus. So again, we just continue to talk about who Christ is and what God has done for us. And then if you were here at the Christmas Eve service, we sang about it again. All the Christmas, the songs that we did and the choir, it was a nice time to be together because Jeff had a little devotional thought that said, the weary world rejoices. And we should rejoice that we don't have to stay in this place of our sin, our error pining, or our sense of worthlessness, but because of who God is, that we can rejoice and we should rejoice. And so I'm just going to continue that theme this morning and talk about the next verse in the song, which says, and yonder breaks a new and glorious morn, or morning. In a very basic concept, it is the idea that I can see in the distance that something new is coming. And sometimes that's all we need. We call it hope, or we call it faith or salvation, but sometimes that's all we need to say, I can see in the distance that there's a new and glorious morning. Hopefully we can say that today for some of us. If you have breath in your lungs and you're here breathing and worshiping God, then we can say it's at least a glorious morning. Or if you spent time with loved ones yesterday, family or friends, and you exchanged presents together, hopefully you would have been able to say it was good to be together. It was a glorious morning. Although, I'd already talked to a few parents this morning that it wasn't a glorious morning because their kids got up at 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock. My kids didn't, thankfully. But hopefully having people around us, family and friends, we can say that a new and glorious morning has arrived. But I want to share to you today some of that joy that can come and maybe some of the reasons why it doesn't come, even though God has promised it to us. As we were visiting some friends yesterday, we were sharing, you know, stories together and what we bought our kids for Christmas. And eventually that led into the subject of camping. And some of you might know, I grew up in Casper, Wyoming. And I also was in the Boy Scout troop growing up. And the only reason that I attained the rank of Eagle was because my dad was the scoutmaster, and he threatened us that if he's going to be the scoutmaster, we for sure are going to get to the rank of Eagle. So we did. But we did lots of camping. So as we were kind of talking yesterday, I was sharing a story that way back when I was younger, maybe middle school age, we used to do a lot of camping in the summertime, but also in the wintertime. So that probably sounds crazy to some of you, but we'd go up on the mountain, and they'd have a little Klondike Derby, as they called it, and lots of troops would come together. But no, not kidding, we'd go up, and we would spend an hour digging out our campsite, 3 feet, 4 feet in the snow, and we would set up a big canvas tent, and these tents, most of the tents had, like, wood-burning stoves in them. And if you were lucky, you know, or you got there first, then you could get the sleeping bag or the spot that was near the stove. Because when it would get cold that night, it would get pretty cold. And so I remember The first time that we went up there, I was obviously a little nervous, and we dig out the campsite, and we do all that, and we lay down for the night, and of course, you kind of stoke the fire before bedtime, but eventually that fire goes out. And I remember that first time that we were camping, I remember just bearing down in the bottom of my sleeping bag. Like, I probably was seventh grade, but I'm in the fetal position in the bottom, and I am freezing. And I just can't wait till the morning to come. Because I know that when the morning comes, at least I can start a fire and warm myself up or get some hot breakfast or do whatever it was. But I'll tell you, that might have been one of the longest nights that I've ever experienced as a kid. And that's why I remember it. And we had lots of other memories. But it was so cold that night. I remember thinking, man, is this morning ever going to come? It just seemed like it lasted forever. You see, there's an ancient saying that gets tossed around here and there, and it goes like this. Maybe you've heard it. It said, it's always the darkest just before the dawn. Now, it's not a biblical phrase, but the Bible is filled with similar ideas. But it's credited to a man named Thomas Fuller from a poem he wrote in 1650. But think about that for a moment. It's always darkest just before the dawn. If you've ever stayed up all night, whether deliberately or non-deliberately, sometimes it seems like it just takes forever for that sun to rise that next morning. It just seems like night lasts just a little bit too long. But when that dawn does begin to break, it seems like it happens pretty quickly. So I wanted to kind of turn the question back to us this morning in a more spiritual or biblical sense. Have you ever experienced a night of mourning or suffering that just seemed to go on forever? Whether that be, you know, something with your health or something with your family or your job or whatever it is, you fill in the blank. But it has ever been that moment in your life, that sense of discouragement, overwhelming, that you think, man, this can't keep going on the way it is because I don't know that I'm going to make it too much longer. What is that like? What has that been for you? What has it been to you that has stuck you in that moment where you've tried to maybe break free, you read the right books, you talked to the right people, you shot off the right prayers, you've read the Bible, but you just seem stuck in this moment? Well, if so, you're in good company. As we're going to look at a story in the Bible this morning about King David in the Old Testament, he had many dark days. Days that he wasn't sure that it was going to end, or days that he was questioning God's will for his life, or days that he thought maybe this was going to be it. And so we're going to read real briefly here in the book of Psalm, chapter 30, beginning in verse 1. And a lot of the Psalms are attributed to King David. In fact, a majority of them are, where he's crying out to God and asking for his help. But this one in chapter 30, verse 1, goes like this. He says, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. This is the English Standard Version, but I like how the New American Standard Version puts the end of verse 5. It says, weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Wouldn't you believe that night that I was sleeping in the sleeping bag, that there was a shout of joy the next morning as I could get up and warm myself and kind of get the day going? But what is it for you? What's the darkest night, the circumstance that you've been in or maybe you're currently in that you just feel stuck? You see, King David has a great reputation in the Old Testament, but he was by far he was not a perfect person. The Bible describes King David as a man after his own heart. But I've always interpreted that to mean that he wasn't perfect, but he did care about the things of God. He was passionate. So when he did serve God and he did go after God, he went after God with his whole heart. He became a mighty warrior in the scripture, but he wasn't perfect. This particular psalm in chapter 30, if you're reading in your scripture, it kind of notates it. It said this is a psalm that is a dedication to God's temple. But it really can't be that because David never saw the construction of God's temple. But what we could say is maybe he was writing this at the place that the temple was going to be built, or maybe he was writing this for the future temple that would be built. But I don't want to spend too much time there other than just to say it was a psalm by David who was writing a dedication for God's temple. But I want you to kind of read some of these verses a little bit at a time where he says, Lord, I will extol you, for you have drawn me up and you've not let my foes rejoice over me. Maybe you know the story that King David, even from a young age, he was anointed to be king, maybe in his early 20s, but he in fact didn't become king until his late 30s. So he spent most of that time hiding from King Saul, being discouraged and overwhelmed, wondering if he was going to even survive. Even moments where he thought maybe he could take the throne by force, but he was trusting and waiting upon God's plan for when that would happen. And so he had nights that he was questioning, that he was wondering, was it true that God had promised him to be king, or was he just kind of making that up in his own mind? But we know eventually he did become king, and so for him to write these things, God, you defeat my enemies, so therefore I rejoice in you. I cried out to you, and you helped me. We also know David and his fight against Goliath. He was known as the giant killer, and he became a great warrior. But after he became king, he had a moment that all of us maybe are familiar with where he committed adultery with Bathsheba, one of his officers' wives. But then all of that, he went a step further and had him killed in battle. And we think, well, man, this is a man after God's own heart. Well, we don't know quite the time that passed, but we know that David was in a dark place during those days. We knew that God's hand was against him, that he wasn't victorious. In fact, the child that became from him and Bathsheba, God took away that child. And so there was much darkness, much consequence during that time. But here we read where he's still saying, God, I cried out to you for help, and you healed me. You brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored my life from going down to the pit. I think that he was reflecting back on his life. You know, he's thinking about the temple and God's glory and his greatness, but he's thinking about back on his life, about his choices and his consequences. But then when David was confronted with his sin by the prophet Nathan, he owned up to it. He confessed his sin very quickly and was restored to God. So he wasn't a perfect man by any means, but he was a man after God's own heart. So we see time and time again that David was in a dark place, sometimes physically, many times metaphorically. And so he tells the people in verse 4 and 5, he says, sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. Again, he's dedicating, hopefully this dedication to the temple. He's saying, you sing to the Lord because he is good. He will deliver you. And then that goes right into verse 5, which is kind of the point for today, is that even though God's anger might last for a moment, we don't know what that is. Time is nothing to God, but it lasts for a moment. But it says his favor is for a lifetime. And that even though our own sorrow and our own suffering lasts for the night, or it seems like it just carries on and carries on, it's not going to last forever. In fact, there will be joy that comes with the morning. You know, even as I kind of put some thoughts together for today, I thought about this phrase, and I thought there's been times in my life, and thankfully not so recently, but even going back into my early 20s, I remember being in my second year of college, and at that time I was a music education major, and thought I had my plan in life laid out. I was going to go teach music, middle school, high school, whatever it was, and I went with a friend down to the University of Northern Colorado. I was just about ready to finish up my associate's degree in music. And I had to go down and audition for the School of Music in Northern Colorado. So we make the trip down there. I prepared my audition piece, get down there. And I thought it went okay. But the instructor or whatever said, not good enough. And I'm like, are you joking? Like, I've spent 10 years of my life up to this point preparing for this course. And for him to say, nope, not good enough. You can't come into our School of Music. He did offer that I could come back the next semester and audition, which that was kind of the plan. But I remember the drive home was pretty dark. It was a four-hour drive between Casper and where that was at, but it was a very long drive, and over the next couple months, I was in a very dark place. And maybe you've been there. You wonder what the future is going to be like. You're questioning God's plan for your life, questioning what you should be doing and all that. Very dark times. Until I had a unique conversation with my youth pastor at the time. I was volunteering in the youth ministry. And he said, I would like for you to consider interning with me for the summer. And I was like, cool, does it pay? He said, yeah, it pays a little bit. And so I did that for the summer. But he said, I'd also like for you to consider changing your plans from being a music major. And I want you to go maybe consider going to be a youth pastor and go study youth ministry. And so obviously you know what choice I made because I'm here today. So over the course of 20 years of being in ministry, I was in youth ministry for 12. I believe that was the right choice, but it was a hard choice. Because I remember going to my music professor, the guy that was over my program, and I said, after graduation, I'm going to be going to Oklahoma and studying youth ministry. And he had a very confused look on his face, almost a look of disappointment, because that's not what he was expecting. But I knew at that moment it was the right time. So for me, it was a dark place, but God had a different plan in mind. And so I want you to think about your particular moment, your situation. Maybe it was in the past. Maybe it's going on currently, but what is keeping you there? Are you doubting God's plan for your life? Are you wondering if he's even there or he cares about you? But as I thought about this phrase, there was an older song, not a super old song, but it was called Trading My Sorrows. And it came out right about this time that I was in my college days, and part of the song goes like this. It says, I am pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. I am blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure. His joy's gonna be my strength. Though the sorrow may last for the night, his joy comes in the morning. The truth that I always knew or was hearing about was it didn't matter how dark it got. It didn't matter how difficult life was. I always knew the next day was gonna be a new day. That whether I liked it or not, the sun was going to come up and there was going to be new opportunities. Now, I might not know what those are or know what to do, but I just knew that there was going to be new opportunities. And so last week, when I was talking about hope, I was reading from the book of Romans chapter 5, and where Paul is talking about how we go through suffering. And when we do suffer, we produce inside of us endurance or patient perseverance. And when we go through that, it builds inside of us character, and hopefully it's building godly character, and that produces hope inside of us. But this idea of suffering, we all experience at different times. Maybe you're not suffering right now, but I like how Charles Swindoll wrote in his book that's titled The Life of King David. He says there are two types of suffering. There's the type of suffering that you create yourself. Maybe you've made a poor decision. Maybe you've treated somebody poorly, or maybe you've sinned against God or sinned against somebody else, or you've done something illegal. You created suffering yourself by your decisions. And unfortunately, we have to live with our consequences because of that. But he says the second type of suffering is a type of suffering that just happens to us. It's not something we deserve. It's something that comes from outside of us and is happening to us. Maybe it's health-related or job or whatever it might be, but it happens to us and we don't deserve it. But the reality is we all go through some type of suffering. And as we go through the suffering, the question is, what are we going to do with that? Are we going to just kind of give into it and be the person that just hopes that it gets one better one day, but we're not quite sure? Or do we turn our attention more towards God and we trust in him? Now, I didn't really want to talk about suffering today. I really wanted to more focus on what comes after the suffering, what comes after the darkest of night. And so if you're here this morning and you're part of the first type of suffering where you've made a decision and you've put yourself in a tough place where there's maybe consequences for your sins, then I would encourage you to take step number one, and that would be to make yourself right before God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This got to be the best news that we receive. It doesn't matter what your circumstance is, but if you've created that suffering in your life, the truth and the hope is that we can confess that before God this morning. We can say, God, I've messed up. I sinned against you. I've sinned against other people. And would you forgive me? And maybe God would even give you the grace to go and ask, if you've sinned against another person, to ask them to forgive you as well. But here's the reality. The truth is that God has promised to cleanse us of that unrighteousness. Right? He chooses is not to hold us against us. That should be the good news. That's the joy that's coming in the morning. Sometimes we have to still work through the reconciliation process and the restoration and you know, the consequences that come, but at least we can know that we can trust God, that we've been made right with him, and he can take us through that. But if it's the other type of suffering this morning, and if you are in that suffering today, I would encourage you to keep a couple of things in mind. Keep on hoping, the confident expectation that we talked about last week. Keep on praying. Keep on enduring, because a new and glorious morning will come. I don't know if it's going to come today. I don't know if it'll come tomorrow or next week or next month. But one thing I do know is that God has promised that it will come. And so what I'd like to do now as we kind of wrap up our service, I want to pray for you. And then we're going to dismiss. And if you'd like to come forward for prayer this morning, whether that be you want to pray by yourself or you'd like me to pray with you, be more than happy to do that and stand by your side today. But let's pray and go to the Lord today. Father, you are a good God. We don't always understand your plan or your purpose for us, and we don't always understand the sufferings that we sometimes experience, God, but we do take hold of the truth this morning that they're not going to last forever, that the suffering is not going to last for the night, that your hope and your joy comes in the morning, that you'll have a new plan and a new purpose, and maybe we'll come out on the other side better people for having gone through it. And so I pray, God, that if there be a person here today that hasn't committed their life to you, made a personal relationship to you, God, I pray that they would begin that today. Lord, if any of us have sinned against you today, I pray that we would confess that to you. And if we've sinned against another, then I pray that we would confess and ask for that person's forgiveness as well. God, if there's anybody here this morning that is stuck in that moment, stuck in the season of suffering, of hurting, of discouragement, then would you speak to their heart today? Would you whisper to their soul that you love them, that you have a plan for them, that your new and glorious morning is coming? Thank you for this day, God. Thank you for this time of year that we give such emphasis and focus on the birth of you, Jesus. Thanks for giving up your life on a cross for us so that we may have life. I pray all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. So I want to say thanks for being here today. There is one more opportunity to participate in our debt elimination. I forgot to say that earlier. If you wanted to do that, we're super close to burning our mortgage that helped pay for the building over there. You can do that outside of these doors. Otherwise, I hope you have a good Sunday. If you would like prayer, I'll make myself available today. Thanks.